In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I am indeed Filippo Voltaggio, and I am excited to be hosting Life Changes today. Today, we have none other than Mariel Hemingway on our show, who is known for a lot of things. She not only is an Academy Award-nominated actress and a Golden Globe-nominated actress and a winner of several other awards, she is the granddaughter of the illustrious American author Ernest Hemingway. And she herself has become famous for other things other than the 30 films and numerous television appearances that she has made. She has become known as the voice for holistic and healthy and balanced living. And so I'm looking forward to talking to her, especially today, and I'll tell you why in just a few moments. But before I do, you want to laugh? I do. Last week I was complaining that I had forgotten all about the fact that we were videotaping the shows because, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes or so before the show I decided, oh, we're videotaping, I better go shower and shave. And so I did, and then came out in time to do the show and realized, wait a minute, I have wet hair. And so our videographer, Mr. Buzz Bros, went ahead and put that clip on about me complaining about my wet hair. He put it on YouTube and posted it everywhere, and we've gotten so many comments, it's pretty funny, actually. So, of course, today, I gave myself plenty of time to shower and shave and shine, and then we found out that our guest today, Mariel, wouldn't be able to make it in the studio. As a matter of fact, she's going to be a little late on the show. Guess what? When Buzz Bros found out that Mariel wasn't coming, he says, I'm not just coming to film you. So here I am, all prettied up, and no video. You know, it's funny because I've not only been complaining about my hair, now that we've, wet hair, that is, now that we've been videotaping the show, I am looking at myself and I think, wow, it's true that video really puts on 40 more pounds. All right, maybe it's not 40, maybe it's 20, I don't know, maybe it's 10, it doesn't matter. I look heavier on video than I do in real life. But in real life, I think I look heavier than I'd like to look. So I've been complaining about that too. I don't think I complain a lot, but all of a sudden it just seems like this has come up more than once here. So a fan hearing that said, have I got something for you? I've lost, 26 pounds in 31 days. On this product called, let me see, I'm looking at it right now, I don't even know what it's called. I want to say, okay, U.S. Aloe, Aloe Control, Natural Weight Control, something or other. So, U.S. Aloe. So he says he's lost 26 pounds and in 31 days. And I thought, okay, I'm interested. Sure, I know I'm supposed to exercise more. I've just been too busy. That's been my excuse. I know that I need to sleep more. I know I need to eat right. But it sure would be nice to have a product that could help jumpstart me. So you know how it is when you start seeing some progress really fast. And so I have been neglecting my body, as you could probably tell from the little sniffle that you just heard, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So so this friend of mine said, okay, here's this product, and you will lose weight like I did. It will, let's see, it says control your appetite, cravings, all natural, blah, blah, blah. So the one thing that I was really excited about, besides the okay, this might help me jumpstart losing my weight that I need to lose, was that it's an aloe vera product. And aloe vera is supposed to be so good for us. I've been wanting to take aloe vera for a long, long time and hadn't really found a product that I was really in love with. And then I did find a product that I became in love with, just hadn't gotten around to taking too much of it, and then found out that this company also makes that same product, which is all organic and vegan and kosher and all of that. So it's the same company. It's just now making products that are also being sold outside the stores, et cetera, et cetera. So without going too much into it, if you want to know more about it, I'm going to post something on our sponsor page, since he's given me this product and said, go ahead and try it. And I am looking forward to trying that and letting you know what kind of results I get. And you'll either see it or hear it on the radio. Just so you know, I weighed myself tonight. I weigh, and I can't believe I'm saying this on radio. Maybe I'm not saying this on radio. All right, I weigh 192.6 pounds. So there, I've said it. So enough on that. So here I am. I'm sniffling a little. My throat's a little what it is and all of that good stuff. And I never, ever, never get sick, because I'm usually really good about all of that. Well, not necessarily about taking care of my body, but the way I eat. And that's why I'm really glad that Mariel's on today, because we'll get to talk about that. We really connect on that. But the way I eat, I'm really good about that usually. Well, but lately, because of the show and just working overtime and not eating as healthy and not sleeping, I know Mariel's going to have something to say about that, just not sleeping, I started to come down with something. And then I came down with something worse, and then something worse. And it got so bad. Actually, I won't tell you how bad it got, but I needed help. And so I've gotten some help. But the interesting thing is that a couple of friends of mine have said, Filippo, of all people, you know what to do to take care of yourself. And I said, I do, but I'm not doing it. And I was just, and they were wondering, why would you not do it? And I came up with this excuse. It might be cockamamie, but this was my excuse. I said, I'm trying to figure out why I'm getting quote-unquote sick. I'm trying to figure it out. Nobody understood what I meant. And I was saying, there's something I have to learn from this, and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to learn it. And the sicker I got, or the more my body was experiencing this low energy and malaise and fever and coughing and expectorating and all that fun, not-so-fun stuff, I started getting irritated about things. I started not wanting to talk to certain people and wanting to talk to other people. I started wanting to do certain things and not wanting to do other things. I wanted to talk about certain things and not talk about other things. And I started to realize, wait a minute, when you're sick or when you're down, you revert to the things that truly do make you happy, to the people that truly do make you feel good, to the situations, to the stories, to the radio shows or TV shows, whatever it is, to the books that make you feel better about yourself or to start empowering you. And so no wonder people want to stay home with loved ones when they're not well, or to see their loved ones, and they don't feel like going to work. Ironically, it was probably work that made them feel sick to begin with. And so it was an interesting experiment. I know there's a better way to learn this. And I choose to learn from now on through love and joy and happiness and laughter rather than through this. But I did get this, that a lot of us get sick. And I know we talked a little bit about this in a previous show. But a lot of us get sick because we're doing things we don't want to do. We also need to pay attention to who is it that we want to talk to? Who is it that we want to spend time with when we're sick? What is it that we want to talk about? Because those are the things that we probably want to do. Those are the people that we probably want to spend more time with when we're well, so that we stay well. Because those are the people that probably energize us if we're looking for them when we're sick. So enough about that. I am excited to say that we're on Life Changes. You're listening to us on the BBS Radio Network. You can learn more about us at www.lifechanges.ws. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on our guest, who you all know because of all the movies she's done, from Lipstick to Woody Allen's Manhattan. I mean, she started doing movies at 13, even though she was the granddaughter of the illustrious author Ernest Hemingway, and she was always destined to be well-known anyway. She became publicly recognized in her own right with over 30 films and numerous television appearances in series and a host of several environmental and humanitarian documentaries. And this is where we're really going to connect. Mariel Hemingway is our guest, and she is an actress, a model, a yoga instructor, a mother of two teenage girls, and one of the leading voices for holistic and balanced living. At the forefront of the body-mind-spirit movement, she is a lifestyle expert and a wealth of information on creating a balanced and healthy life. As the author of three books that are considered the Bibles of healthy living, boy, what a perfect day to have Mariel on. Finding My Balance, Mariel Hemingway's Healthy Living from the Inside Out, and her recent released Mariel's Kitchen, which we'll talk about later on in the show. She has established herself as one of the most knowledgeable and articulate voices at the center of the body-mind-spirit movement. These books reflect her wide variety of expertise and study of integrative health and nutrition, yoga, exercise, cooking, and cutting-edge ecological and sustainable practices. We are so happy to be welcoming to the show Mariel Hemingway.
Hi.
Hi.
That was quite an intro. Gosh, I thought you'd never stop.
He's gonna stop now. You are modest, and we love that about you. Thank you for being all that you are for us.
Well, it sounds like you've been sick. What's up? You need help too.
You know, actually, Mariel, I knew you were going to touch on that. I just knew it. And, you know, this is a great place to start. One of the things that I have not been doing enough of, so please preach to me, is sleep.
Oh, I'm going to. You're not sleeping enough. Well, that's going to be a number one cause. I mean, not a number one cause, but it's certainly a great cause of why people get sick and, you know, run down and overstressed. And people don't realize the value of sleep and how it enhances your life in such a huge way. But, you know, not getting enough sleep is a key to just, you know, your immune system shutting down. You need time. You need nighttime sleep to regenerate the body. It's just imperative.
It seems like such a simple thing and something like, well, everybody does it, so I'm too good to do it too. I don't know what it is.
Well, and also we have a cultural thing that we think if we sleep less, we're more productive and we're better. We're like better people. We're cool. Burning more calories. You're actually aging from doing it, and you're shutting your immune system down because it needs, you know, the body is designed to regenerate at night. Now there are some that my partner and I have some friends that actually don't need a lot of sleep. They're very rare. They go along with the monk people, but most people really do need a great deal of sleep to regenerate their bodies, to you know, put their systems back in tune. So when you're doing all the things that we all do, which is usually too much, you get time downtime, and you need that time in silence the blood to repair, the muscles, the tissues, all that stuff, and your mind to rest. So it's a huge factor in your health and wellness.
You know, it's interesting, Mariel, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because sometimes we think that, like you said, the less we sleep, the more we're getting done because we're working, and especially out here in Los Angeles and Hollywood land, we always, it's rush, 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 and this has to be done by this time and whatever. And
exactly.
Yet, when we sleep, we get more done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And here's the other thing is, we are so inundated, a great analogy is we're so inundated with television and, you know, and all this technology, which we all love. I'm sitting here on the radio with you, you know, on my cell phone. But the thing is, we need rest time from that because the ears need to repair. All of that technology comes at you. It starts, you know, it attacks you. It literally attacks your immune system. So you need the ears repair during rest
I never thought about that. I like that.
Yeah. Right. You know how when you go to bed at night and you have the television on or the radio on and it's loud, but you don't notice how loud it is. But then in the morning you turn it on and it's super loud. It actually, you know, like it kind of takes your breath away because it's much louder. It attacks you. You don't realize that the body during the night actually repaired from that noise that we become accustomed to during the day. Like you say, we're living in Los Angeles and we're on the onslaught of technology and noise and, you know, all these different frequencies. We get used to it and we numb ourselves, but at night we repair. So in the morning you wake up and it's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much that affects me.
I like that. I like that a lot. And, you know, one of the other things that I know you're big on and that I wasn't doing enough of was drinking water.
Oh, yeah, water is key. It's key. I love that you're bringing these things up. I talk a lot about that in my books, and I'm writing a fourth book with my partner, and one of the big chapters that we're talking about is water and how unbelievably important it is. We're made up of, you know, 75% water, and our tissues and organs are made up of a certain percentage of water. Each individual part of our body is made up of water. So it's really, you know, blood is 90% water. So it's really important that we drink water, but good water, good clean water, structured water. You know, water that actually is informed with information that helps your cells to repair and do good things. So water is really important. And people will say to me, yeah, but, you know, I drink a lot of fluid. And I'm like, yeah, well, tea, coffee, Diet Coke, you know, blah, 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 juice. That's the minute you put something in water, it changes it into a food. So your body can't utilize it the way it's supposed to. And water is a repair mechanism. It's the most powerful thing we can do for ourselves. Many Indians will call water medicine.
You know, Mariel, this is really interesting. I thought I have read up on this stuff so much, and actually Ion Ways Water Systems is one of the sponsors of the shows, and you're telling me things I've never heard of. Where are you getting your information? You're amazing.
I'm making it all up just to you. No, I'm kidding. No, it's, you know, this is just, it's years of you know, just being so fascinated with health and wellness that, you know, and my partner, Bobby Williams, and I, in writing this second book, fourth book, we're just discovering all kinds of things. But it's the way that we live. We, in fact, in the morning, we have what's called a vitalizer. So we'll put our good water, you know, whether it's from an ionizer or we get Noah's water, we get all kinds of different mineral waters, and we put it in a what's called a vitalizer, which spins the water. It makes it more valuable to the cells in your body. Your cells recognize it and they absorb it.
Mariel, we're losing you, unfortunately. I know you're on a cell, but are you stationary or are you moving back and forth?
No, we're stationary.
Yeah, we're losing you to the point where we can't hear all the wonderful information you are sharing. And now we lost you altogether. Hello, hello.
Hear me? Hello?
Mariel. Yeah, it looks like we've lost her. Well, hopefully she'll call back. You know, there's such a thing as perfect timing, huh? That here I was talking at the beginning of the show about health and not getting sick and ways to do that. Ways to not get sick, and here Mariel comes on, and she's a wealth of information on that. Let's see, I think she's back on. Mariel, you're back? Okay, no, she's not. Okay, so she started to tell you, it's so funny, she said she's writing her second book, but she's on her fourth book indeed. So we'll talk more about them when she gets back on. But the latest one is Mariel's Kitchen, which is about nutrition. So, of course, she knows so much about it. finding my balance, which is what we're really talking about here with sleeping enough and all of that as well, I would think. But actually, she goes into her memoirs on that. And then healthy living from the inside out, which includes the body, mind, and spirit, and beauty of the combination of all of that. So I'm looking forward to addressing that. Now, it's interesting, Mario, if you come on while I'm talking, by all means interrupt and let me know that you're here. But it's interesting, I was going to ask her about this routine that she has. She wakes up in the morning, and then the first thing she does is, of course, after a good night's sleep. And then the first thing she does is she has water. And so that's why water is a big thing for her. She says it helps energize her and unfog the brain, et cetera.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. I was just talking about your morning routine.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I wanted to say one more thing about water. Water has an intelligence. Water holds information. It's incredibly smart, water. So when you really want to think of water as something that's really going to feed your cells in a big way, so making structured water is a really important thing to do, and people should look that up. And I'll be writing about it in my next book, and I'll come back on and talk about it.
Okay. We look forward to having you back. So I was just
saying, can talk about morning routine now.
Yeah, I love the fact that you had a morning routine. So many of us don't in this country, and I just started one at the turn of the year. And I can't tell you what a difference it's made. So it was great to be comparing routines here. So tell us more about yours.
Well, to be honest, I change it all the time, but I think that, like you said, you know, people have lost ritual and ceremony in this country. We get up, we rush, you know, we rush to get dressed, to brush our teeth, to shower, to throw clothes on, pour coffee, you know, gulp it down and rush out the door and then run, you know, then run to a Starbucks or whatever we do. Instead of slowing your morning down, getting up 15 minutes earlier so that you can take time in the morning for the ritual of breathing, taking some silence, whether it's for, you know, 2 to 5 minutes where you sit in silence and you become aware of your breath. And then when you make your tea or your coffee, you have a consciousness about it. You do it slowly and with intention. And when you start to become aware of a slow morning, and one of the most important things you could do is think about be aware of your first thoughts. And those first thoughts should be thoughts of gratitude, thoughts of, you know, what do I want for this day, how to plan my day. The way you start your day informs the rest of your day like you have no idea. It's so powerful, and it has a palpable effect on your entire life. How the first hour that you're awake is so important to your life.
I like this. You know, I would argue, Mariel, that we do have a routine, a lot of us, and that's getting up in the morning and by alarm and saying, "Shit, I'm late." And
exactly. And you don't want to do that. I mean, I even talk about there's an alarm that wakes you up with light, you know, because we should be waking up with light, with sunlight.
Yeah.
It's the biggest alarm clock. When you're in tune with nature, and that's really what our bodies, because we're animals, that's what we naturally, our innate nature is to be in tune with nature and the biorhythms of nature. So when you wake up naturally, you wake up with the light. You go to sleep with the light. Now, of course, as human beings, we don't do that anymore. But that we trick ourselves by all the lights that we turn on in our home. But the truth is, our natural way of living should be to wake up with light. And they actually have alarm clocks that wake you up slowly with light that kind of gets brighter and brighter that, you know, wakes you up. Because that's really how we're supposed to wake up. But, of course, we go against all those natural rhythms.
You know, and speaking of which, how did you fall into this rhythm? I mean, being in Hollywood and the work that you do, I mean, it looks all glamorous and fun, and a lot of it is, but there's a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, and a lot of stress in the industry. Where did you find this way of being?
Well, I think that, you know, it comes mostly because, number one, I grew up in Idaho, and I let nature talk. You know, I was a pantheist. I always believed that God was in nature, in trees, and in mountains, and, you know, in the great outdoors. That's where I felt most at home. It's where I felt connected. And so that's number one. Number two, I think the reason why I always had ritual, you know, this connection, is because I grew up in a really kind of crazy, wonderful, but crazy home. You know, it was very addictive, and there was, you know, my mother had cancer, my dad had heart disease, my sisters drank too much. You know, there was a lot of craziness in my home. So I created, you know, this sense of peace and solitude by going outside. And it grew with me as I got older. I knew the importance, you know, and I had to, because, like you said, I was in a business that was kind of crazy. So I always found routine. I got into yoga and breathing very, very early on, and food became very important, although I did a lot of crazy things with it. You know, I was conscious of this health food movement, and now, you know, it just led me to where I am now, where I have a real awareness and consciousness about food and breath and water, and how you're really supposed to lead your life in harmony with nature. And it just came to me, you know, it took many years to really discover, this is, you know, what my natural instinct was as a kid is really it's really the way that I need to live my life that works for me. And that's really what I'm writing about in my new book now.
Hmm. Well, you've certainly got so much in all of your books. You're finding my balance, that's more about yoga, but you talk about all of this, right? I mean,
I do. I'm finding my balance. It's kind of a memoir through the eyes of yoga. It's like how yoga enabled me to look at the different parts of my life, and, you know, like my sister's suicide, my father's death, my mother having cancer, my children being born, my marriage, all these different things, and a lot of really fun things, you know, making movies with Woody Allen or John Candy or whatever. But it enabled me to look at my life through a different kind of consciousness, from a different awareness, from a different sensibility. So it really helped me, and that was the first step into my kind of spiritual life. And then my second book was a deeper version of that, which was about movement and home and food and sacred space and silence. Sorry.
Exercise
and silence. I'm yapping. I can't remember it. I feel that those four things are really important. That's lifestyle. They're very important to how we live our lives. And then the third book that I wrote, Muriel's Kitchen, which really isn't just a cookbook. It's really about how food is the first step into becoming environmental and becoming conscious and aware of yourself at a deep level. Food is a very, very important ritual we take for granted, especially in this country, because, you know, in other countries they spend a lot of time with food, and that ritual is very important. And here we just think, you know, faster is better and moving, and, you know, and it's important to slow it down and really make a connection with your food.
I couldn't agree more. And actually, before we move on to Muriel's Kitchen, I did want to say, since you brought up your sister and your father and all of that, I wanted to say one of the things that I always admired about you, Muriel, is the fact that all of this has happened, and you have somehow found a way to accept it or live with it and make good for it for other people to be able to deal with things in their lives. And so in that way, you've been an inspiration, especially from the place of being recognized and in the public eye, to have somebody like you out there that has been able to do what you've done and to share in the way you have shared. It really is an inspiration and a big help.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, to be honest, I think it's my responsibility to share it, because I'm in the public eye. I think that, you know, I really think there's probably 9 problems in the world. They just have different wrapping paper, or, you know, they wear different clothes. You know, so I don't think that I have any special problems, you know, that my pain was any more painful than anybody else's. But But because I've found tools to help me deal with it and to fend off depression through completely natural ways and to, you know, it's just, I've learned how to thrive instead of just survive. I was, you know, I spent a lot of years trying to just survive, you know, my upbringing, my genetics and all that stuff and things that I was afraid of. And by sharing them, I've learned a lot more about myself, and it's really inspired me to do more in this space, because I love health and wellness, and I believe that everybody can be as healthy and vital as they possibly can be. And, you know, and I've done a lot of things, so I want to share the things that I've done and inspire people to be their best.
Well, Mariel, we are so aligned, because this is what our show Life Changes is all about. We highlight people like yourself that have made changes in their life, that are out there helping people make changes in theirs, and people that are making changes in the world, and you fit in all three categories like a champ. So before we go on, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host. You could listen to us on the BBS Radio Network and get all the information for us at www.lifechanges.ws. And today we're talking to Academy Award-nominated actress and voice for healthy and balanced holistic living. She is Mariel Hemingway, and we're talking about her books, and most particularly Mariel's Kitchen, her latest book. And before we get into the food and the kitchen, I did like how you touched upon in Healthy Living from the Inside Out, home, silence, exercise, and food. And I just wondered if you can touch for just a minute or two on home, silence, exercise before we get into food.
I mean, home, silence, food, and exercise are really, they're kind of cornerstones to what, here's why I wrote the book, and this is the reason, is because there's always a book about your home, you know, what your home should be like, clear and clutter, you should do this in your home, you should get feng shui done and all that stuff, and then there's a book about your exercise, and then there's a book about what you should eat, and then there's a book about meditation. And I thought to myself, you know, really, when people are living their lives, these are things they do every day, and lifestyle is not about separating. You know, separation is not oneness, and separation makes us compartmentalize, and we don't do things holistically. And holistic living is about looking at your life as a whole. You know, what am I doing as a human being? How do I show up in the world? What do I eat? How do I move? How do I breathe? What water do I drink? How do I move? And do I take time to sit and become very conscious of my actions and my breath and my thoughts? All of these things make up who we are. So I wanted to put a book together that was about everything. It's about a lifestyle change. And that's what I'm writing now with Robert Williams, is we're writing a deeper version of that that adds adventure and more about nature. But I believe that these things are it's our makeup, and it's our birthright to be as healthy and vital as we can be by connecting with all these things that we do each and every day. And so you don't need a gym, you don't need a doctor, you don't need a guru, you don't need anything but yourself to be your best guide. Mm. But what I've done is giving you, what I want to be able to help people do is give them tools so that they can find their own guide within them. You know, because I found mine, and that was a journey. You know, it wasn't always easy, and I did all kinds of crazy stuff, but I know that I'm the best person to guide me to my highest good, to my own power, to my sense of self that is beyond, you know, beyond reproach, when I know that it came from me. And it's the ultimate self-responsibility to really find that inner voice and take responsibility for your own life. And that's what, you know, that's what my passion is in this field, is to just really inspire people to find their own voice and to become their own guide, guru, you know, cook, you know, trainer, whatever it is. You get to be your own best person for you.
That is so key, that so many of us are always looking outside ourselves. And sometimes I can see where that can serve, because we don't know how to do this. Like in this case, we're going to go out and buy one or all of your books so we can learn how it worked for you and then internalize it, make it work for us if we align with it. And from all I could tell, there's no reason we shouldn't. You talk about the home, for example, how it's a place where you need to feel good. You don't not walk in and have it be cluttered or have it be a place where you just yell at your kids or you hate going home. So many people hate going home.
Exactly. And it's sad, you know, and I say to people, look, go into your home, sit down in a room. I call it intuitive feng shui. You know, it's cheap because it's you. But you sit, you know, sit in your kitchen and go, is this a place that I invite people to come into? Is this a place where I could create ritual with food? Am I happy in here? Is this festive? And if the answer is no, you need to look at the colors in there and get a paintbrush out or a roller and change the color or do something or change things around. It doesn't mean you go out and get a designer, but it does mean that, you know, if your bedroom, you know, you look at your bed and it's covered in clothes and your computer and, you know, you've got the cell phone and this and that and that, everything. And instead of being a place for silence and making love and sleeping and quiet, you know, it should be a place of complete, total peace and solitude. And so it's just about being pretty damn duh about it and going into each room and going, what does this room make me feel? Sit in it and sit quietly for a moment. Am I happy in this room? Does it create a sense of calm if I'm in my bedroom? Or if I'm in the dining room, do I feel like this is a place that I would want to entertain people? It's just about really using your own sense of self to figure out what works for you. And if you have too much clutter, you know, have a garage sale. There's nothing more cleansing than getting rid of crap you don't need. And if you haven't thought about it in more than 6 months, you probably don't need it.
I love this summer. And we just don't take the time for this. And the other thing you say is silence. Our life is so fast paced, and we come home and we have the TV on or the stereo, and like you said earlier, some people go to bed with the TV on, and we don't have silence in that. Silence is important. Why?
Silence. You know, I love that you brought up silence, because people, that's the scariest part. I speak around the country, and often I'll get up there and I'll speak, and when I come to the part about silence, I say, I'm going to talk about silence, and then I'll take a really long pause, and I mean really long. When you're speaking, you know,
right.
A minute pause is like, oh, she forgot something. She doesn't know what the hell's going on, and you see people's discomfort.
Oh, is that what you were doing, Mariel, when you dropped off? We thought you dropped off on the cell phone.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
I was trying to fill the silence, and you were trying to teach me a lesson.
No, I apologize. That was completely technology-oriented, and I'm sorry. But what people do get uncomfortable with silence, and it's all great. It's one of the great teachers. Now, it doesn't mean that you always sit down in silence and it's this great big chore to you don't have to empty your brain. But what happens when you take the time for yourself is that you start to, it's a muscle that needs to be tuned, and you get to this place where thoughts come and you allow them to go. It takes practice, but you let them come. And I say to people, you know, when they get overwhelmed, they say, oh, I can't meditate. So I say, look, it's called silence. You don't have to call it meditation, so you don't get scared that I'm making you do any kind of religious anything.
Right.
But start out with 2 minutes and add a minute a week. And then eventually you'll get up to 20 minutes, and you'll find that it's so rejuvenating, because what happens is in silence you can pray, you can ask questions, you can ask yourself what's right for you. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the answer comes right there. But you will find that if you make it a practice during your day, during your, you know, all of a sudden that answer will come to you. Sometimes it does come in silence, but oftentimes it will come during your day. Something will, you know, pop out and you'll go, oh, wow, it's the answer to my question. But if you didn't take that time for yourself, if you didn't take that silence, you really wouldn't be, you wouldn't have this deeper consciousness. Silence has the power to teach you everything. because that's where your inner voice lies. But if you're constantly going and there's noise and, you know, and constant motion, you can't really hear yourself. You can't hear what's right for you unless you take that time for you.
Mariel, this is so great, and I'm laughing to myself as I'm listening to you. Here I am. I have a pet peeve, and that is that when people get famous, then all of a sudden people start asking them questions about the world and about politics and about religion. And I think, what do they know? They knew exactly what they knew before they got famous. It doesn't make they're famous for this. It doesn't make them an expert in that. So why are you asking them? And here I'm asking you all these questions because you do know, and you're such a great find.
Well, that's so sweet of you to say, because I couldn't agree with you more. I cannot stand celebrities that get on a soapbox about stuff. And I think the same thing. A year ago, they couldn't get a job, and now all of a sudden, they're And I do the same thing. Here's the difference. I've been doing this. I've been in the health and wellness field. I mean, I've been interested in studying it for 25 years. It's been my, you know, I love this stuff. So I'm, you know, if I hadn't been an actress, this is what I would do in my life, because I think it's really important. I've done yoga for 25 years. I've been studying food and making all kinds of mistakes for 25 years. But I do know this stuff because I've experienced it and because I've made mistakes. You know, I'm not doing it from some holier-than-thou sense of knowledge or an intellectual property. I'm doing it from experiential property. I'm doing it because I've done all kinds of things that worked and things that didn't work. So thank you so much. That's actually a really nice thing to say, and I still agree with you.
Well, it shows, and I couldn't be more thrilled for me and for our audience. Now, you're doing Mariel's Kitchen, and that is near and dear to my home. I grew up Italian-American and love to cook, and there was something that my mother would do. We later found out that there's an actual word in Italy called slow cooking. As opposed to fast food, this is slow food. And
there's a whole movement. It's fantastic. And here's the deal. People say, oh, but I'm so busy. I've got this and that and my kids, and I got to go pick it. Slow food takes you 10 more minutes. 20 more minutes. And who cares anyway? Who wants to put food in a microwave and turn it into something carcinogenic that's going to give you cancer? I'm sorry. I would rather take 15 more minutes to make something that's delicious and comes from a sense of love and passion about something. And food is not hard. Actually, really good, healthy food is simple food. And even in Italy, if you go to Italy and you go to somebody's house and they create a meal in, you know, 20 minutes out of, you know, a little bit of pasta and this and that and the other thing, it's simple ingredients that make it good. It's not about all the pomp and ceremony. Now, you can do that, and I have tremendous respect for anybody who's a wonderful chef. I'm not a chef, but I know what to do with good, simple food. And actually doing very little to it is the greatest thing ever, and it's the healthiest for you.
So what do you recommend as far as food is concerned? From should we buy it a certain place or should we pray over it? I mean, what are you saying?
You should pray over your food every morning. Pray over food. No, I do. I actually do say grace because I think it's a wonderful ritual.
I do it at the store.
I love to thank the food. I love to thank the people. I like to thank the farmer. I'm very into that. But I believe that, you know, my philosophy about food is that, first of all, we should eat seasonally as much as possible. We're inundated with everything that comes from China and Chile and this and Peruvia, you know, whatever. We've got all these places that our food comes from. And really, healthy food should be food that's in season and as much as possible, try to find a farmer's market. Buy organic, buy local and sustainable. If you can find a biodynamic farm, you've given yourself the best present in the world. They're not easy to find, but biodynamic is 10 steps above organic, which is obviously really good. But if you have the opportunity to go to a farmer's market, it's one of the great rituals, I think. I used to do it with my children when they were small. And it's a way to, like, understand where your food comes from and the people. You know, farmers, small farmers are some of the great wacky characters on the planet. It's great fun to go to a farmer's market. Especially, I mean, here we are in L.A. I mean, it's one of the great places in the world to go to a farmer's market. They're funny as hell.
It is. It's true. A lot of characters there. So, you know, I've never heard, I go to farmer's market. I eat like a vegan. I eat organic. I've never heard of a, what kind of farmer did you say?
Biodynamic. Biodynamic is, it's much more prevalent in Europe than it is here. And it's called the Demeter standard. And Demeter is like organic, but it's a very high standard of what they do with the farming. So this, it's about farming in tune with what nature wants for you. So you eat only things that are in season. You eat, you know, you plant things that are environmentally appropriate for the season, for the climate that you live in. It's about aligning things with the stars. Astronomy has something to do with it. It's really powerful. And the soil is probably everything. The how soil is cultivated and you know, composting is really, really important. But it's really about not messing with nature. So you plant, but you don't strip the land at all. You keep what's inherent to that farm, to that land, and you keep it in there, and you let the things grow through weeds, and what, it's really fascinating, but it is so tasty, you cannot believe it. And you can even do it with animals, too. So the chickens and the eggs are just unbelievable, but of course, they're really free range. They're not, you know, free range, meaning they can get out of a cage for an hour and look at the sun. I mean, this is, and my belief is it's about having consciousness about food. I don't care if somebody eats animal products, but be aware of where they come from. Make sure that your animal products aren't abused. Who wants to eat an abused animal? The energy of that is really, it's not good for you. Mm. So maybe you eat less meat, but when you do eat it, you know that animal walked, you know, on a farm and was like living a life and was, you know, it was treated like, was treated humanely. And so that's, it's about having awareness about everything we do. And that's what Mario's Kitchen is about, is having an awareness of your food. Not to mention it's gluten-free and sugar-free, which is always, is good for a lot of people nowadays.
I'm just laughing. So that's what the book is about. Are you going to have a TV show that goes with it? I hope.
I am working on a TV show, but it's not what you would expect. I'm actually working on a health adventure show. My next book is also, I've added adventure to my home food, exercise, and silence. Now there's some adventure in nature. So I want to go around the world, and this is what I'm creating now with my partner. I want to go around the world to incredible places and find their great healing technologies and things, or not really technologies, but more natural things, but do it through adventure. So that's my latest thing.
What do you mean it's not really what I'd expect? I mean, after having talked to you now almost an hour, I'd expect anything from you, and I can't wait to see what comes from you next, because so far everything has been so great. So,
Oh, you're awesome.
You have been awesome. I want to remind everybody that MarielHemingway.com is the the website where you could get more information on Mariel Hemingway, and I want to make sure you all know the spelling of that. It's M-A-R... What?
I said thank you.
And you're welcome. MarielHemingway.com. Her latest book is Mariel's Kitchen. And Mariel, in the next minute or so, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience that I'm sure has been delighted by you in all this time?
Well, number one, I want to apologize for my little absence, my middle of the interview absence. And I want to say that I'm so grateful to be here tonight and to share my passion. And this is my passion, my love for inspiring others to be the best that they can be. And I really believe that they can, because I really know that there's there's tools out there to connect you with you, and that's what I'm excited about. So thank you for having me and letting me share with all of you.
Well, Mariel, it's our pleasure, and I'm a believer, and you still excited me. So you're definitely doing something right, a lot of things right, and we're grateful to have you. And yes, we'll have you back when you have your fourth book done, and we'd love to have you as one of our live guests at one of our live events one of these days. So we'll talk about that at some point, too.
Okay. Oh, that'd be wonderful.
All right. Well, have a beautiful rest of the evening, and thank you for being with us.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Ciao, Mariel. Ciao. Oh, that was just delightful. Again, that was Mariel Hemingway, and the website is marielhemingway.com, her latest book, Mariel's Kitchen. And look out for the adventure TV show that she's doing and her fourth book and all of that. She is just delightful. Happy to have had her on the show. And with that, we bring on Dorothy Lee with her State of the Universe address. Dorothy?
Hi. Well, once again, our guest is talking about what I was going to talk about tonight, and that is great. Awareness. We must become more aware. With so much change going on in the world, we really, really need to pay close attention to all of our choices and not just to some of them. I made a less than elegant choice last week that created an episode in my life that was, quite frankly, unnecessary. I not only know that love is the most powerful force in the universe, I also understand and teach that love is always the answer, no matter what the question or the situation is. Always. And I really thought I was doing my very best to choose love all of the time, because that is what and who we are and what we've come to share and be and experience. As I've said before, there are really only two emotions in the physical universe, those being love and fear, and other emotions are just variations of these two primary ones. When we choose love, we're choosing truth, trust, faith, enthusiasm, laughter, action, hope, kindness, acceptance, responsibility, confidence, health, wealth, and happiness. And when we choose fear, we're choosing dishonesty, deception, regret, sadness, criticism, despair, anger, blame, jealousy, meanness, shame, and guilt. And all of these variations of fear lead to illness. Love is the emotion associated with the knowing that everything in the universe is an expression of the truth that we are all one and therefore totally interconnected. On the other hand, fear is the emotion underlying the illusion that we're separate from Source and from one another. And so even though it was for only a moment, I made the choice of fear over love. And although I believed at the time that my fear was for others and not me, I co-created an unpleasant situation for myself because I had momentarily forgotten that we're all truly one. The others are me. I am them. So even if it was only momentarily, then I became so afraid for me that it led to this less than elegant choice. Thank God it didn't take me a long time to understand what I'd done, so I was able to immediately go to work to undo the temporary damage. I'm grateful for this situation because it helped me remember this very important thing. Every single move we make and every action we take matters, not just for us as individuals, but for all of us and for all time. When one of my good friends chastised me gently for going where I had gone with this, I had to look at the situation from my higher self and see what I can do to keep this from ever occurring again. So although I readily forgave myself for this silly and very human moment, I know that I don't need to do this anymore, and I trust that none of you need to do it either. It matters not what we're afraid of. Fear simply doesn't serve us in any form or fashion. My recent step out of faith into fear created a need for me to look at all of my recent choices. And I can truthfully say that I choose love 999 times out of 1,000. However, what this latest incident showed me is that there is room for improvement in my choices, and I simply must do better, and I vow to do so. I'm grateful for this life lesson because it was unpleasant enough for me to really look at all of my recent choices and to do an honest inventory. I'm grateful to my friends who love me enough to assist me in taking a closer look at what sometimes appears to me to be not such a big thing. I discovered that I had been unconsciously judging my actions by levels of importance. How silly is that? For example, I had thought that spending time assisting a friend was much more important than spending the few seconds judging someone. However, the truth is that each second of each day are all equally important. Once we truly understand and know that everything matters, just as Muriel said, you don't want to eat meat from an animal that has been abused. Everything matters. Every move counts as much as any other. We cannot help but become more aware of our choices when we remember this. Remembering is what we must do, because every single thought create something in our three-dimensional world, so we must become more aware. And this leads us to be more accountable. And if we want to become the change we wish to see in the world, then we must be self-responsible. A life filled with choices of love over fear will make us all much more valuable people. Our productivity and financial success will soar to new heights, while the old days of uncertainty, doubt, and depression fade into the past. So please join me in constantly choosing love. And until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee Donahue, with the State of the Universe address. And friends, family, and fans, that is our show for tonight. We'd like to thank again Muriel Hemingway for being our guest tonight. Invite you to check out her books and go to her website. You can actually go to our website as well and learn more about her and our next guest, actually. I'm very excited about this next guest because we're definitely living up to life changes. You know, life changes is about many different things, and our lives are changing more than life has changed for many generations before us. And so part of those changes include things that we would consider very three-dimensional, very day-to-day living kind of things, but they affect us in such a big way. And so our guest next week, Molly Wendell, she shares job networking tips from her new book, The New Job Search, Break All the Rules. In other words, life changes on the on every scale, in every area of our lives. And so this is an area that we need to look at, because right now there are people that are needing to find jobs in a different way than they have found them before. So we are happy to help by bringing Molly Wendell on next week. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week with us by visiting us at our website, lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and you spell my name F-I-L-I-P-P-O, and connect with us at our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page and also our first personal fan pages. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water System, and you heard Muriel Hemingway talking about them, as I did as well. Change your water, change your life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts, and producers Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, along with Seth, our engineer. Thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.